Welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob, Scott, and Becky all taste an oddity out of Italy in a Petit Verdot Syrah blend, which is Castello Romitorio Rosso. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault. Welcome, everybody, to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy, and tonight, I am joined by a mustard bottle that is the Scott, the unlicensed taxi driver.
Good evening, folks. What he's commenting upon
is where you're wearing yellow head to tail.
It's tail?
Tail.
My tail?
Tail. Head to toe, tail.
Tailspin. Yeah. I'm wearing Steelers gear.
There's yellow. Very yellow.
Very yellow Steelers gear. But that is hot dog. One of the...
And
it's actually gold.
I think it's gold. Fair to say that the Steelers beat the Ravens. Lamar is...
It's mustard yellow, my friend.
My player. And He wore that specifically to be like a little knife.
Yeah, just a little bit. And that's not gold, my friend. That is mustard
yellow. The black and gold.
Yes, but that's mustard yellow.
No, this is gold.
There's no gold that looks like that. There's mustard.
Silver but, and gold have you none.
It's the cheap mustard, too.
Let's move on.
Yes. The Triple B is also on the show.
Good evening.
Yes.
Not wearing Ravens gear.
No.
No, you're not.
Well.
You're not wearing Ravens gear. I'm wearing a purple shirt.
I'm wearing a volunteer shirt and a shirt for my kids' school.
Yes, and I am wearing a shirt that talks about domestic violence awareness because that's important.
And Scott, it's also purple like the Ravens.
It is. That's the other reason why I wore it.
Wow.
And before that, I was wearing a Louisville hoodie over
it. You were wearing a Louisville hoodie today. And then a Cubs hat.
Cubs win. I don't know why.
It's not baseball season, so sure.
Nah, sure. On tonight's show, folks, we have a little bit of an oddity, as I said on the intro. It's not odd in the fact that it's a kitschy wine or anything like that. It's from Italy. It's Italian. It's Tuscan. And it's a little excited because it's two varietals that you don't typically see associated with Italian wines, at least not by themselves. You might see them blend in small amounts with different things. But
question on the floor.
No. Anyway.
So it's from Italy. That means it's Italian?
You figured that out all by yourself
there,
mustard
boy. Well, I think that's what you said. I'm making sure.
So okay.
From Italy, so it's Italian.
Sure.
Okay. That's great.
Okay.
Just useful knowledge.
Thank you, Banana Man. Anyway, the varietals, as it were, it's a 50-50 blend of Syrah and Petit Verdot. Oh. And this wine is Castello Romitorio. So, and this has been around for quite some time. They have a full portfolio. It's through Tuscany, so they have Brunello's, Montalcino, all the line top to bottom. But this is their Tuscan red, so similar to what the hell is that shit? By Ruffino's and any stuff around $20 that we've had. What is that stuff? We've had 100 things like that. That one thing that you snuck in on that blind tasting. All of those things, those are normally Sangiovese
blends. Tell me
blends.
What this is a mix of again.
Syrah and Syrah, Petit Verdot.
Okay.
Now, previously, this wine was not known as Castello Romitorio. It was known as Castello Romitorio Il Toro. So that was the 16 vintage previous.
Okay.
So this is the first time they really called it this, partly because they felt that was a dumb name. It does have an animal on the label. It has a bowl.
It's a mean-looking bowl, though.
I know.
Actually, looks like Ferdinand.
I know.
Looks like it could be a nice bowl, not a mean bowl.
And I have the Il Toro in the wine vault.
Oh, very nice. A
couple bottles of that. So, are there any questions, comments, before we go to the break?
You know... I didn't mean this one or the Il Toro in my vault as well. I'll have to double check when I go home. I'm doubting. I think I have the Il Toro also.
You probably do. This is a darling of some of the reviewers, and we'll get to that as soon as we come back here on the Wine Vault.
unlicensed taxi driver here. When I'm out on the road, mayhem is everywhere. Mayhem doesn't care, but your local Allstate insurance agent, Craig Walters, does care. Are you in good hands? Are you in the good hands of Craig Walters Insurance Agency?
And if you're not, folks, please give Craig a call. His number is 740-862-4585. You can also meet him at his office at 107 North Main Street, Baltimore, Ohio. For auto, home, or life, give Craig a call. And we're back, folks. So, the Castello Romitoro.
This is our new sponsor.
Certa Propaners.
Is that a Cialis commercial? Because, yeah. Jesus Christ.
Fuck you me. Get on me about the buzz, but then...
Well, there's that. Well, I never thought he'd be that stupid. But anyway, the reviews on this wine. We're going to send it over to the Triple B to read the first review.
Sure. The first review came from Robert Parker's Wine Advocate.
And his toupee.
And he gave this 93 of his points.
93.
And sometimes, I've barely read through this. Sometimes when we read reviews, there and like James Suckling is really short, but this is like a really lengthy review. Anyways, I'll read it. The previous vintage of this wine carried the name Il Toro, but the wine has been renamed with this vintage. In archaic Italian, the name Romitoro translates as Romitorio. You know what? This is like mansplaining.
Is it?
Yeah, it is. The Castello Romitorio 2018 Romitoro is made with equal parts Syrah and Petit Verdot, all aged in oak for 10 months. This edition opens to an inky dark appearance, followed by a thick and succulent texture. Gross. It offers a certain firmness to the tannins and a thinner spot on the mid palate that thickens quickly as the wine hits the palate.
But it does. What?
dark plum, prune, and blackberry emerge at the top. Lighter notes of spice, smoke, and tar also appear. Pair this wine with your favorite steak dinner. Some 44,437 bottles were made. This is very arrogant.
That's a little under 4,000 cases, folks.
That's some 44,437.
Apparently they broke a few bottles, so they don't have even numbers of cases. But that's
even number of bottles.
That's true, too.
The wine was bottled in December 2019 and hits the market in February 2020.
Mm-hmm.
I just did the math. I was like, it can't be. Okay.
No.
Romitoro is one of the great value wines to emerge from Tuscany. He also, at the end, it says 93 plus.
Plus. Yes, and speaking of thickening quickly, it is I, James Suckling. Oh, yes, all of my listeners out there are just, they're turning up the sound and turning down the lights. Oh, my gosh. I reviewed this wine, as you I'm undoubtedly aware. Of course, you said Robert Parker. I don't listen to his reviews. And you say, why did James just suddenly develop a stutter there? But nevertheless, I gave this wine, of course, 93 of my points. And I wrote a lot less than Robert Parker, but I wrote cherries and blackberries with some floral and walnut character. Medium-bodied with firm, silky tannins and a delicious finish, yes. Easy to appreciate the polish and finesse to this. Give it a year or two to come together. Or maybe by themselves. Try after 2021. Ah, the innuendo tonight is just, it's
thickening.
It's thickening.
It's thickening, folks.
Yes, Tim and I came together. Sorry.
Okay.
Right on time.
Next.
Synchronized. Anyway, this also got a 92 from Venice, but wine.com said that's Venice. So, as I said, it was formerly called Il Toro. And previous vintage, the 16 that I have, got a 95 from Parker, a 92. So it's getting, if you look back here on
some... It gets some scores.
Oh, yeah. All the way, 90s all the way through. So the 17 got a 92 from Venice. The 16, 95, and a 92. The 15, a 94 from Spectator. A 92 from Suckling, the 13, 92 from Suckling, 12, 91 from Suckling, the 11, Suckling 91, of course, but he gives everything a 91. The 09 and 91 from Parker, then the 8, 93 from Spectator, and 91 from Suckling.
So if James Suckling says to give this a year or two to come together, why are we drinking it now?
Right now.
He says try after 2021.
Because I've always had this problem of coming a little too quickly. Ew. So, 12 months on oak, thereabouts, too. So.
Robert Parker said 10.
Well, Robert Parker's wrong. What the fuck was that?
I think Bo's in a fight with himself. I don't know.
I hope he loses.
Oh, he is Henry's tiger.
Oh. Well, nevertheless, folks. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm still on the Suckling. Syrah, Petit Verdot, two French varietals typically, but mixed together here in a 50-50 blend. But yeah, Syrah and Petit Verdot do blend well together, just never in Italy. I think it's exciting. That's one reason why I was drawn to this wine to begin with.
Where did you find the wine?
On wine.com.
Oh, I'm so shocked that you bought wine on wine.com.
$17.99 is what I paid for this.
So surprised.
Very nice.
But so right now, it's $20.
We hardly ever get wine from wine.com. Isn't that? It's such a rare occasion.
It is unusual.
So the Brunello Montalcino,
mm-hmm,
current vintage, got 95 of both Jimmy and Bobby's points.
That's correct. How much does that cost?
60 bones.
Oh, a shade more. Shade more. Sure. So, and 12 months on oak, by the way.
Mm.
Yeah.
You should mansplain back to Robert Parker.
I would have printed off the PDF, but that's only in Italian. So that wouldn't have helped. Well,
I'm surprised you haven't learned Italian.
Well, I don't speak Italian, but I do kiss that way.
Italian?
Oh, yes. I'll show you. Come here. No.
I don't know what that means.
I don't know either, but, you know.
Is that a movie?
No.
Okay.
It's not. Okay. Nevertheless, folks, if you do kiss Italian, please write the wine vault. Tell us how it is. It's better than kissing Russian. You know what I mean? So, in the glass, this is darker than hell.
Yeah. Black.
It is ink
purple. You'd expect it to be, though.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah.
You'd expect it to be.
Petit Verdot typically adds a nice deep color to everything.
Mm-hmm. What was the percentages again?
50-50.
Interesting. Really interesting. So not just interesting that it's the varietals that they are from Italy, but mm-hmm, the 50-50 mix on it.
Yes. On the nose, crushed berries. Minerality. Almost like a limestone.
Yeah. Very distinct minerality on a nose.
Yeah.
And there is a floral element. It's not violets, but what is that? Mm. Just general, what is that?
I'm having a hard time getting past the brightness of the blueberry. I mean, it's a pretty strong blueberry nose.
Well, the crushed berry is the mm-hmm, in my opinion, is the primary. Everything else is secondary. The minerality, though, is...
The minerality's been pretty present.
Yeah.
But she ran calling wildflower. Mm. I think it's wildflower. Just a scent of flowers.
Yeah, just wildflower.
Wildflower.
Is this that Thousand Day Gouda?
It is. Dandelions. No, it's not.
Ragweed.
It smells like poison ivy.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. Here we go. It's time to drink.
I'm excited about this.
Ooh. That is probably the driest wine I've ever had.
Really?
There is dry, mm-hmm, then there is that. Wow, that is dry. Unabashedly tastes Italian.
Mm-hmm.
But it tastes Italian with different varietals, and you notice that.
To me, the two varietals are pretty distinct in it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I wasn't really expecting that. That kind of took me by surprise that it wasn't. I don't know. Normally you're like picking the pieces between. You're like, oh, that's where the cap comes in. But it's like almost like you're drinking.
Wham.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's so tan. The Petit Verdot is showing that. But it almost finishes on a slight bit of. What is that?
I almost feel, I got the feeling that I was thinking about tobacco. Is like I had a glass of Petit Verdot and a glass of Syrah and two straws. And I was just drinking them at the same time.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Like they just put it in a blender. I don't know. Yeah.
Mm. Not quite tobacco. Towards tobacco.
Well, it's going to be tobacco in about 3 years, but right now it is a little bit of tar.
Yeah.
And tannin. There's a bit of tannin.
Is there tannin? There's tannin.
Yeah. There's tannin.
There's tannin.
Oh, tannin bomb.
It is a tannin bomb.
This when James said 2021, he meant to say 2024, and you better do that. It is very tight.
Yeah.
There is a lot of power there. It's medium bodied, which isn't all that unusual for an Italian wine.
I do feel like the front and mid palate are relatively short, and the finish is quite long.
Mm-hmm.
That definitely is the star of the show. Not, I know that Scott hates my room for improvement section, but I wonder about the maybe aging. I don't
aging
know.
Aging will, yeah.
Just balance it out a little bit more because they do go by like, and then a long finish.
Yeah, it's. Not the most impressive front, but it's an Italian style. It's what it is.
It's going to be, and this is one of those wines where you have to think out for a while. It's going to be really good eventually. And I think I saw it needs some time to come together. Yes, I said that. It takes at least 2.5 minutes to come to. Oh, I keep getting my... Yes. Wait a minute. Am I on the air?
Yes.
Oh,
you
shit.
Are, sir.
Damn it. I can tell that fruit in the front, you're going to notice it lengthen out and soften with time. And I bet you're going to see some nice red currant. It's still going to be savory fruits, naturally. But red currant and... maybe some cherry pop through as that ages and smooths out, and it probably will lengthen too.
Are you getting prune?
Well, slightly.
Plum
kind of right there.
It doesn't really get a chance to really sing too much because the tannins kind of just grip because it's right at the end of the front palate into the mid, and that's...
Yeah. I'm picking out just a little bit of like sour cherry, just a little, you know.
Yeah.
It's right with that prunish... sort of plum thing going on.
Yeah.
And I think really what that sour cherry is coming from is a bit of the acidity too. The mouthfeel on this is wonderful. It has that, for me, sometimes you have a wine and it has a sensation of being chilled when it's not.
Yeah.
Like cooling effect.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's always desirable. I like it in this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Roundish mouthfeel.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I like about the first part of this wine. I wouldn't call that front palate, but that's where the mouthfeel really shines when you're having that. Let's call it what it is. It's a really subdued front palate.
Yeah.
But there's things to be picked out there.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Mm-hmm. Blueberry.
That savory... prune plum thing and that's not called sour cherry. I misspoke. Mm-hmm. Tart cherry.
I think when I said I did say savory fruits, but it's a savory blueberry, if such can be a thing.
I think so,
because there's a bit of a bounciness to it, and you can taste a little bit of that fleshiness. But the tannins just kick in so much that you know those need to mellow and soften with time, and you're going to see a lot more there.
Yeah. When you said it was a medium-bodied wine, mm-hmm. I was thinking about how flavorful it is for a medium-bodied wine.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on in it. I agree that it is medium-bodied, but there just is a lot going on that you don't always see in a medium-bodied wine.
It's not a small medium-bodied. It's not schmedium. I mean, it's a well-defined.
It's like a proper medium.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
I agree. There just is a lot going on, so I just wouldn't mistake saying it's medium-bodied for, like, lacking in flavor.
No,
because it's not at all.
No.
It's quite good.
And quite frankly, if those tannins soften a little bit, the body might increase just a little bit because they grip onto it so much and it doesn't get to expand.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. It's a maybe. Because there's a lot of maybes with this wine.
This really is about not just what it is now, but what it can be.
Yeah. It's a cellar selection, as we would say.
I think so. I mean, I'm not sure it's going to go the full 2024, like you're saying, but maybe.
Oh, no.
Maybe.
Minimum.
What are you thinking about where Parker said that you would pair this with your favorite steak dinner? To me, I don't view this as a steak wine.
Not
would
now.
You?
He meant baked steak. I'm... My favorite steak.
Country fried steak.
Yes, extra gravy. Steak. Thank you very much. That's correct.
Which is delicious.
Salisbury steak is my favorite steak. I don't know what your problem is.
My mom makes it. Yeah.
Chopped steak.
Cauliflower steak is my favorite steak. I don't know why everyone's looking at me so unusual. I like my chicken steak. Medium rare, thank you very much. That's what I enjoy.
No, that I just wouldn't.
Tomaine
I wouldn't pair this with a steak. This would be amazing with some really, really nice Italian dishes. I think even like your short rib dish, this would be lovely with your short ribs. But I just wouldn't have this with a steak.
Normally, yeah, because this is already so, boom. You want to have a little bit more of a rounder fruit. A little riper fruit to offset the char of the steak and really complement it. This is more of the, it's more of the char. So it is more, it's hard edge. And yeah, I get what you mean with that.
Doesn't this scream though, like a candlelit dinner? Like to me, I'm like, oh, just like an old school place with a candlelight. You don't think so?
I guess. What am I eating?
I think this is a romantic wine.
Yeah,
it is. It's very romantic.
Yeah.
I agree.
I could see it.
I mean,
with
we're
a steak.
Eating it in the basement with like bare light bulbs.
Yeah,
I'm
could
saying
see with
I
steak
envision
like
something
a
little bit more romantic.
Small strip steak. You know, not a big fatty ribeye, but a strip steak. Like you go to Scally, and if they had a strip steak on the menu, this wine would go well with it.
What about
did to it?
What about grilled round steak? It's lovely.
Stop. I don't like where you're heading.
What tube steak?
That's
okay. I wasn't heading there, but now I can do that. Properly seasoned tube steak.
Chorizo.
A spicy sausage.
There you go.
Yes. Juicy sausage.
Juicy.
Yes. Just put the sausage in your mouth and let the juices explode.
Juicy fruit.
One time it didn't make it to my mouth. The sausages exploded all over my face. It was, you know.
What, James, why did you have your face down on the grill while the sausages were popping off the oven?
I wasn't talking about sausages. I was actually talking about something else, but it doesn't matter. What happened? I blacked out again. Am I on the air?
That happens way too often.
Son of a bitch. I did not mean to. I am saying all these things satirically. I don't mean them.
James.
Sometimes
James.
I think he just buys wines that I have reviewed so he can do my reviews like this. It's embarrassing. By the way, my masterclass is no longer available, apparently. Facebook gave up on their masterclass series, but if you'd like, I can still do a class with you over Zoom. Yes, I close on or off, depending on how much you spend. What is that new cam service where you can...
Stop.
What? Oh, sorry.
The new cam service.
Anything to make a dollar or two.
It's unfortunate that the Masterclass series has ended.
I don't know that it has. It's just, it didn't end. It's just nobody paid money for, how much was it? Maybe that website,
$150.
Maybe that website's still active. I don't know. Mm-hmm. That's really funny.
Wasn't it?
It was stupid.
We went on and signed up and it was like $150. I mean,
you can watch the Cooking Channel for free. It's the same fucking shit. You can YouTube like the shit for free. What the hell would you? Good God. That was weird. Well, I mean, if it was like $5, it'd still be too much. But I mean, I'm like, what? $125? How much did they pay?
Yeah, no, $125, I think, sort of.
For what? You don't get a certificate. This is not like you're going to school.
Masterclass.com.
Master.
I'll make you a certificate for down here for Christmas.
Thank you.
Welcome back.
Sign me up. We could do Masterclass on the show. if it was live and we could heckle him, that'd be worth it. We'd get kicked out of an online masterclass.
Yeah, you would.
Yes.
Don't waste your money.
No. I have a message from Wine Guy.
Excellent wine.
What are you doing?
You're going to learn how to make great buys that taste like $100.
Is that James Suckling?
Yes.
My voice isn't that far off. It's a little lower.
A
corkscrew.
I try not to be pretentious about wine.
I try not to be pretentious about wine. I try not to. He's a cross between Wilford and himself, really.
I think you're closer to him than you think.
I think so, too.
I don't think there's any Wilford in
Strangely enough, I've never heard him speak before. I just guessed what he sounds like. So, although that was Robert Parker's voice originally, too, but I respect him. So, I don't, but he's retired.
Well, so. We respect him, Parker.
We do. We respect his reviews. We just don't respect anything about Suckling. Well, no. So, folks.
As much as we know, he hasn't.
What?
Sexually harassed women in the way that some in the industry.
No, I really doubt he has. But, nevertheless, we're going to take a break because then we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. Everybody, it's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker or Podbean or some other app I've never heard of but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back. And we're back, folks. So in tonight's potpourri, we are going to do things that Scott always wants to do. He wants to talk about social issues. So tonight... Well, not tonight. Recently, there was an article in the New York Times, and it was written by Julia Moskin. Moskin.
Moskin, right. Okay.
Of course. I know what I'm doing.
Okay.
I read it. No, I didn't. Anyway.
You didn't.
The article is about sexual harassment and basically sexual abuse in the sommelier industry. So, young ladies, young women are trying to go up the hierarchy and
it's extremely male-dominated.
Oh, yes.
Climb the ladder. I think the article said there are 155 people in the past 23 years that have received a Master Sommelier recognition,
mm-hmm.
and 131 of them are men.
And 125 of them seat people at Applebee's. But that's not really the point.
Go ahead.
It's a nice Applebee's. Okay.
It's a really nice Applebee's.
Yes. Can I bring you a menu, sir? Fuck them. Go to school. Do something for real. But anyway, nevertheless.
They say they average $164,000 a year salary.
Yes, but they're in New York City, so that's the same thing as about $1.25 an hour.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it ain't the same. Nevertheless, sexual harassment in the wine industry. That's not that shocking. It's obviously because these people are scumbags, naturally. But some of the details in the article, it's fun to name names because, you know.
Oh, I know they do.
Yes.
Normally they're like someone really high up.
Yeah, somebody really named, what, Joff?
I think it's Jeff Kruth.
Yes, but how does Jeff Kruth spell?
G-E-O-F-F, which is so arrogant. It really is.
G-E-O-F-F. Joffrey. Yes. Well, I don't think Joffrey, you know, Tessa's Joffrey.
Well,
he's not going to do that.
Be easy on Joffrey.
Well, there was one story where a young lady went to his room at a hotel room?
Yeah.
Why was they in a hotel?
I think to, like, talk to him and ask him questions about stuff.
Oh, so he came in. He's the master.
Commonly, the classes, the courses, when you're in training,
yes,
occur conference style at a hotel.
Right. True.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, and then there's the other events that occurred where you're hanging out and things go on, you're having drinks, and then it's just, you know, the stories are awful.
Well, the one story.
And very, very similar throughout the article that this person was trying to be a mentor in theory and took advantage of him sexually. There's no other two ways to put it.
Well, he answered the door naked. So some lady, she went up to ask him a question, presumably about Gamay, you know, the origins of Gamay. I mean, she wanted to ask that question. He opens the door and he's, oops.
What
oh, my mistake.
So crazy to me. My name is Joff. Think that you are like that good looking?
I don't think he is.
You know what I mean, though? That like he thinks he's that good looking that he should answer the door naked. Scott,
look up his name.
I'll Google it.
Let's see what he looks like. Do they have a picture of his dick? I'll draw it. Let's see if
K-R-U-T-S?
I can. It's probably small. Small dick. It's just a little dick. Just like a little. It's a micro penis, is what they would say.
Don't micro shame.
It's just a little wiener.
His hair's so gross.
It's a little thing.
But here's him.
His hair's so gross. This is him.
What?
It's such a shame that this isn't on live TV. You should Google him right now.
You should. And right now, I did. I mean,
I think he had a Netflix show.
Did he?
Called SOMM. S-O-M-M.
Well, that's so awesome. Why didn't I watch that? Is he naked on the show? See, Scott.
The naked truth.
See, this is his micro penis. I do that for Scott.
Looks like a spider.
That's the point. It's a tiny penis.
So if you're listening, please pull over to the side of the road and Google him.
Yeah.
He has like a wave in his hair. He has like a side part and then he has like a wave. He's gross.
And he's standing there with his thumbs up in his picture.
If you saw a picture of 10 people, you would pick him out to do that in a heartbeat.
Yeah. You would not pick him out to be a master or someone. Yeah. No. You know, you'd pick him out to be a used car salesman.
It's just another story.
Near an airport.
Regardless of the industry, this goes on. It has gone on. And, you know, mix in alcohol, which is the business that this is.
Don't put it on alcohol. It's not alcohol's fault. It's his micro penis's fault.
I would say he probably felt emboldened by his alcohol consumption.
He spits.
Gross.
He does not stop that, but you know he does.
I know where you're
I'm not surprised.
I wasn't going there.
Yeah, I'm not either. And when you get, I feel like wine, especially, can be such like an old boys' club.
It is.
They're really. A lot of, I don't know, just it's an old men's club, and it doesn't surprise me at all, and it's disgusting. And kudos to these women for banding together. Kudos to the New York Times. And I think that it's obviously made a splash because it's in the New York Times, but it's not really made that much of a splash. And I wonder how much in an election year, in a year where you have wildfires ravaging Napa, how much of a impact this makes, which is really unfortunate because, I mean, restaurants are closed. There's just so much going on in 2020 that this is an article that I think deserves a lot of attention and recognition. I just don't know how much it's gotten.
Well, he's a nobody, though. So that
he had a Netflix show, which I've never heard of.
Oh, that's a documentary about Psalms. I believe it's documentary format.
Yeah. My question is, though, why is it the move of the molester and the freak? Harvey did the same thing. You're just naked in front of the woman. Normally, these dudes, it's best if they leave a little bit to the imagination, because it's not going to help their quest. Now, I mean, because in reality, he is a nobody. Harvey Weinstein was a movie mogul. You know, now he's in prison, but which is great. But this guy is not. You know, he knows about the AOC designations in Burgundy. He knows about
the hair, though.
You understand. You understand the type of yeast that they use in that wine and the chemical composition of. I know all of those things. And it's like, turns it on. So I'm going to get naked and answer the door. That means, though, it's not like she knocked on the door, then he took all his clothes off and answered the door. He was already naked.
He's waiting.
Yeah, he's just standing there naked waiting for somebody to come to his room. Allegedly. Maybe she called and said, are you available?
Allegedly.
So he took all his clothes off to answer the door, because that's what she wanted. And he thought that would seal the deal. You know, saying something nice to her or being respectful. No. That's not this guy. Get buck naked, answer the door. Because that's the key. And he should have he should have a Netflix show about wooing women. How to take off your clothes.
I would say that just like in general, as like a pickup tip,
don't do that.
Will like never work.
No.
Like literally never will
probably
work.
Probably not. Not even if you were a handsome man, probably.
Right.
Well, if Tim did that, I personally have experienced the same thing.
All right. We were being semi-serious about it.
I know. I am. I'm attacking this son of a bitch. Are there any other people I can make fun of?
In the article?
They never even talked about how he has a micropenis. It's inverted.
That's just your separate research?
Yes.
Well.
That's correct. I vetted it all. Scott looked it up.
It's just
one of the guys that they interviewed, Jonathan Ross, he said that it's like there's no shame in it. There's no attempt to hide it. It's like very much known about.
Was he like... He was anti it, though, saying it, right?
Yeah. Oh, okay. He's pretty young, 37.
Well, that guy didn't look like he was that old.
Yeah, I think he's like early 40s.
But the tales are not pretty. It did, some of the women involved told their stories, were either out of the wine industry or no longer pursuing certification, as it would be. Which there is a link to money, becoming a master psalm. There's distinct. The best of the best restaurants, are going to have the master psalm.
Longhorn Steakhouse.
Another one that they call out is Robert Bath, a professor of wine at the Culinary Institute of America, a longtime board member and former vice chairman. He was suspended for 2 years.
Just 2 years?
But now he's back in good standing.
I'm assuming that he's old. He has white hair and he has a beard.
I didn't look him up.
I don't know. Just assume that's what he looks like. Well, did he get naked? Who is knocking on hither door? Let me take my clothes off.
He wears bow ties and sweater vests.
And then one of the Master Sommelier Court's co-founder, his name's Fred Dane.
A court?
He's 67. He frequently engaged in sexual innuendos and unwanted touching.
I'm guessing any touching by him is unwanted.
Creepiness.
Yeah. Yes. Let me open the door for you. That's just too forward.
Yeah. But so when you saw the article, Becky, were you surprised?
No, it was. I was almost surprised, especially with the popularity of Me Too and all of these different areas being exposed. I was so surprised that wine hadn't been
Well, they're not famous.
Yeah, they're not famous. Nobody knows who they are, and they have to Google them. But it was like, oh, of course, if this is an old boys club, for sure that's happening.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And maybe that's why we're, what, at least 2 years into Me Too? When was that? 2017, 2018?
Probably.
I don't even know, honestly.
No, it was longer than
2020
that.
2020's been 400 years long. But I just feel like it is not shocking anymore. It's like, of course that happened.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I like the they name names.
Yeah, I do too.
So we can look them up.
They pull no punches.
They shouldn't. Two shits about it.
You know,
yep.
It's in-depth reporting. I believe the article was a long time coming that had been worked on for not just 2 weeks putting this together.
I
want to say it was more than a year, the author. There was a summary, and I believe that it was more than a year in the works, the article in the background.
And that actually takes
getting
people
to display the courage
mm-hmm.
to come forward.
Well, the thing, though, about that is, if you think about, you're writing an article about sexual abuse in an esoteric, fairly unimportant avenue. It's not like you're, I mean, there are so many other, you know, you could do it in broadcast news or this or that. So many things that are of import that are more well known, you know, that the next thing they're going to do is, you know, we are now going to expose the sexual harassment in bowling ball salesmen. I mean, it's, you know, we're down the trough there a little bit, but the fact they still did it and took all that time to do it, that takes some guts as a paper to say there isn't a lot of juice in that story, simply given the people that are doing it, but still.
Yeah.
Probably.
They said, and some of them, they were like, oh, this is the first we've heard of this. A guy would be so surprised that that's the first.
On my master class, I teach you how to take off your clothes before gross. Someone knocks that's on the door. You can do it in 15 seconds. Yeah. Why? Because all of my clothes have Velcro.
And I, the article said stuff, too, that, like, one woman was working in Tampa, and one of the guys contacted her, like, oh, I'm going to be in Tampa. Maybe we could meet, and I could, like, give you some tips. And then it just, like, led to a lot of pressure. And,
Barossa makes very strong Shirazes.
But think if you're working on... It's so gross.
Have you ever had wines from the Finger Lakes?
You know, if you're working your way up, and someone, you know... that you and maybe Juan as a mentor or idolize said they would meet you, of course you would say yes, and then, mm-hmm. yeah.
It paints a spectrum of, you know, even though some of the participants in the story knew it was coming, saw it was coming, and it's still offensive and mm-hmm. inappropriate, regardless of consensuality or not.
Right.
Well, that's not consensual.
Many of the stories told, even the ladies from their version, were saying it was consensual. But that doesn't mean it's not.
I think when you're pressured in any way, it's not necessarily what my definition of consensual.
No,
they weren't raped.
They weren't raped,
but
it wasn't. When there's ever a power struggle where one person has power and it uses influence to get
inappropriate.
Well, but that's not. It's not. Yeah. It's not rape. It isn't consensual at the same time.
Okay.
Yeah, no, it's wrong, very wrong, and quite frankly, there should be repercussions. Not criminal, but there could be all sorts of professional repercussions that should occur to you, because that isn't consensual.
Yeah, and it's interesting, too, if your founder is, like, super well known for it, then I would imagine you would have a lot of other really skeezy, gross, greasy guys around you.
That's true.
You're not going to be surrounding yourself with really upstanding people.
Quality surrounds quality.
But it isn't surprising that I feel this way, since I'm wearing a domestic violence shirt, you know, and you're dressed up like a mustard bottle.
Rob the Advocate.
Yes, and Scott the Banana. So, folks, we're going to take a break.
Squeaky, squeaky, squeaky.
And be right back here on the Wine Vault. We'll be right back. And we're back, folks. So, the Castello Romitoro from Tuscany in Italy. I believe Scott said, did you say it's from Italy? In Italy?
I do have a question before we go into reviewing.
Sure.
And we've talked about this for several other wines, but how do you think that this would come across to other wine drinkers?
They would not care for it.
I feel like that, too. It doesn't have like a funk or anything to it. It's just a very different taste.
Well, I think in 4 years, 5 years, they would find it far more palatable. They would enjoy it immensely.
Are you going to buy another bottle for 4 to 5 more years?
I don't know. Because I think it's $19.99. If I saw it at $17.99, yes.
Oh, that $2. I get it.
$17.99.
$2 right? matters. It's the principle of it.
Right.
And I have a couple of the 16s. So.
And what year is this one?
18.
Oh, you have 16s. Oh.
Yeah, they got higher reviews.
Oh.
And yes, those are sitting down for a while.
Why am I not surprised?
Because you just know the way I think.
I know how much wine we get from wine.com.
Uh-oh. Here it comes.
It's time to start shipping it to Kroger.
This is the real reason you're wearing the Lighthouse t-shirt, because you're fearing abuse from your spouse because of how much wine you buy.
Is next week you're just going to wear all red?
So you're what?
Ketchup.
Oh, I didn't catch that one. Ha.
I just want to know. You're
Henry
like
Henry made a really funny joke yesterday that reminded me of your jokes. So there was a yesterday was trick or treat. We were at my mom's and this lady had a big skull filled with candy out. And so then mom said, oh, this is, I don't even know her name. She's a school teacher. And Henry goes, more like skull teacher. That was a Rob joke.
No.
Yes, it was.
I thought you were going to make a dick joke. I was like, what is he fucking doing making a dick joke?
What?
I make dick jokes. I don't make...
No, you make jokes like that.
To annoy him.
Very, very funny. Did, I told him it was nacho average joke.
I know. That just annoys him, though. That's why I do that.
I thought it was very clever.
Well, with that comedic delight, we are now moving on to the review section. Mm. We're going to start off... Oh, by the way, before we do that, let's all guess each other's... Scores.
This is a very hard wine to review.
I know. And I'm going to put Scott's number right next to the micro penis I drew earlier. So I'm going to put his name right there. You're right up against the micro penis, Scott. Your T, the cross on your T, is touching the tip. I just want you to know about that.
I appreciate that. Thanks for the forewarning.
And Becky's going to be Jeff, far away from the micropenis.
Robert with a G-E-O-F-F.
I know. I feel bad for bringing in Joffrey.
You should.
How does he spell it? G-E-O?
I don't know.
No, I think it's Jeff. I think he spells it with a J.
Ask Tessa. She's right there.
I think she has a new cookbook out, too.
You know, the penophile looks a little bit like Joffrey, doesn't he?
No,
Joffrey looks like...
A dog collar on the pedophile and he's going to look like Joffrey. But
so inappropriate.
That's not a funny idea. You see my Moan son?
Grandson, that's his grandson.
No, it's my son. He looks like it's a melted ice cream face from Scooby-Doo. This is my stupid son, Scooby. He's like...
Folks, I would have got away with it too, you kids.
Go on to a penophile site and then look at, and it's kind of hard to find. Look up the Prince of Pino.
That's right, the Prince of Pino.
So he has like favorites. And on the favorites.
Are we on the air?
Yeah. He puts a picture of his son. But somebody, he went to like a county fair and had like one of those caricature paintings done of his son. So
except really bad.
Yeah. So his son looks like a fucking, I don't know what you, I don't like to use that term. But, you know, he looks like he has issues. And he's melty. And
melty.
He just looks bad. And but that's what he uses as a picture of his son to say,
this is one of my dumbass son's favorite wines. I don't love my son.
So just look at that, folks.
You've got Bo all upset.
I know. He doesn't like the penophile. So.
I think he doesn't like the penophile's son.
We've written down the score. Scott, I put Scott's name right next to the micropenis. So we're going to start off with the triple B.
Right. How many more times are you going to say that?
Micropenis or the triple B?
So this is a hard wine to review.
It is.
Because, I mean, we have to rate it for where it is, true, right? Not where we think it will be.
I think you can take that into consideration. The review, you know, proper reviewers, unlike us, do.
Yeah, I mean, for sure, I feel like Robert Parker has rated it for what he thinks it's going to be, because this is not a 93 drinking it in the glass. I feel like maybe there's the potential in the future. I would honestly be surprised if we put this away for a couple of years and came back and it was a 93. Right? Wouldn't you be kind of surprised? So, anyways, I'm going to give my review. I almost feel like I want to review this, and then I want us to buy it and set it back for a couple years, and then give like a now review and what we think in the future. And you know,
well, I never said that I just had one of these.
Oh, okay. Anyways, I'm giving this an 87. And I'm giving it an 87 because I think that in the future, when there's a longer front and mid palate, I think it would really skyrocket the score. But those are just such blips. And to me, the finish, the tannins, the oaking is kind of all that's there right now, really, which I think has great potential. I just don't see it yet. It's just not present yet. How's that?
Hmm.
I am going to start by saying I do recommend this highly, particularly the price point. And it's Rob, it's still $17.99 on wine.com.
Oh, good.
I don't know how widely available it is in different markets. I've never seen this
show
in
up at our house tomorrow.
Groceries.
No. It's too small production.
But I think it offers a lot. And we touched on, is it mass appeals? Would all our red wine drinkers appreciate this? I don't know, but I know if you like mouthfeel.
Yes.
This is there.
It's
maybe not for everybody. That's okay. But I'm going to give this 90 on my points. I like the tannins. 90. I love the finish, the mouthfeel. I like that cooling, chilling sensation it has along with the mouthfeel. I think there's enough fruit. It is... You know, it's between an 89 and a 90. I went with a 90. And the front and mid palate, they are more subtle.
But they're there.
But they're there. I like them both. But
yeah, I feel like Rob wants to fight me over this.
Freaking just because tannins of this are fantastic.
Cockamamie.
The drying of this is fantastic.
Cockamamie.
It doesn't dry your mouth like a Merlot does, where it washes the top roof of your mouth.
Well, it's not astringent, but there's plenty of damn drying from the tannin.
Goes on forever.
Yes,
that drying. So I'm 90. Okay. In consideration with what it could be as part of that score.
And so now I will give the correct score.
Okay.
I have thoroughly reviewed this wine. Thoroughly experienced
how
it.
How many glasses have you had?
Glass and a half.
Okay.
Still, you know, Scott and I last night might have
indulged.
Yes. What's
overly indulged?
There's three dog night, but we had three bottle night. But the last bottle
or split.
Split. We had the Sauvignon Blanc. Scott's like, I want to drink port, and he's asleep by 11. He's passed out.
You make it to the end of the game?
No,
not really.
I did have a bit of a bone to pick.
I know. Uh-oh. It's too bad.
What do we do?
You've already forfeited it.
So it's not your fault. It's Rob's fault.
Uh-oh.
So, Rob, what's my favorite, truly my favorite food of all time?
SpaghettiOs.
Try again. What is it?
Chef Boyardee ravioli.
With the hot dogs or the meatballs?
I can't eat any of those things. What is it really?
I believe it's Cool Ranch Doritos. No? Diet
Caprese
Mountain
salad.
Dew? Oh, that.
Oh.
That was the next one.
And if I see it on a menu, I always get it.
And last night, Scott and I had a nice big cutting board full of
400 Caprese.
And we ate them all.
Tomato.
They were delicious.
And then Rob was like, oh, yeah. And then Scott had some jalapenos, and he kind of, like, ground them up and sprinkled them on top.
I said they sliced them thin.
And put them on top, so it was a jalapeno caprese salad.
Yeah, a little crunch.
It's a nice little touch.
And so I was like,
lovely.
That sounds so good, thinking that Rob, knowing that that is my all-time favorite food, would have thought to maybe put a single one back for me out of the 45 you all ate.
No.
Guess how many were here for me today?
None.
There were zero.
I'm not sure there were many left before.
Do you think he threw some
the
away?
Game started. No.
No.
Okay.
There were none thrown away.
Well, maybe five. Maybe six.
How many did you all make? 20?
It was a pound roll of Mott's.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. We ate a lot last night and drank a lot, but that's okay.
In Rob's defense, the tomatoes weren't the best. They turned out fine. There were aromas from my garden that I picked that day.
Hmm.
So they were a little on the mealy side, but I did my salt and the colander treatment, Jamie Oliver treatment. They livened up just fine.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So now I'll give the correct review, though. And this wine correctly is scored. And this, by the way, I'm going to score it in the Italian method, not the Russian method.
Okay. Oh.
Yes. And that provides it 90 of my points.
This isn't a 90.
Oh, shut up. You daggone Ruski red commie bastard.
My range is an 87.
Perestroika, perestroika.
Go ahead.
Vladimirette.
I will tell you.
What?
This wine is an 87, 88. There's the potential, if you set it back, for it to get a 90, 91. But you're giving it a 90, and then you're going to set it back and give it what?
I'm not done yet. A 90 plus, just like Parker did.
Wow, a 90
plus.
You're done all right.
You're so cool.
Okay, because let's go around there and see what the predictive scores were.
That's true. Triple B, you'll start off. What did you predict?
So I thought you were going to be the same as me. I thought you were going to give it an 87 and Scott was going to give it an 88.
Well, you were wrong.
Yeah.
Scott?
Guess what my scores were.
What? Huh.
Rebecca, 88. Robert, 90.
Well done, Scott.
Very well done.
And I thought Becky would actually have a soft heart and really acknowledge that the wine is good and give it a 90. And Scott would give it an 89. So Scott is the winner tonight. We've
Can
all
I tell
won
you all
that.
Something else?
What?
You all give this wine a 90.
That's right.
And there is still more than a glass left in the decanter, and you all both have wine left in your cups.
And
I know you drank last night, but I will tell you, the other wines that we have up here that we have given 90s, you all are licking the insides of your cups.
By the way, I'm not
you
done
are...
yet. I'm not done yet.
I think you're shaming.
I am shaming you.
Hall of Fame. Oh, it goes in the Hall of Fame, folks.
Okay.
The regular Hall of Fame.
Right next to Mason.
I think you all are still drunk from last night, and you're treating this like a second
could be.
Episode.
No, I think this is quite deserving. I, you know, for the price point, it's got the mouthfeel and the tannins that
got a twig in my mouth. No, it's delicious.
Right twig or left twig?
Micropenis. I just want to say that
one more time.
Yes, maybe twice.
I think it's
very
deserving.
It's
so
going
you've had
to
a glass and a half, and it's fantastic.
It's fantastic. Now is it a 93? I'm not even sure it could get there. That this is going to be transformed by setting back, but I just think it. You know, as Rob said, that the fruit's going to be more exposed, and it may. It
you
might
know,
lean out a little
Scott,
bit.
Scott, but if I were high on amphetamines, I might think it's a 93. Just because I'm all fucked up. Coked out, basically. If you're all coked out, yeah.
I can't wait to have this wine again in a couple of years.
93 would be pretty
And
serious.
Me to give it an 85.
Wow.
And you all to give it an 86.
It's so cool.
Vindictive.
You are. Perestroika, perestroika. Someday I'm going to learn the rest of that, but, you know. I'm going to learn a song, at least two lines in Russian, so I can sing it.
Aren't we kind of inventing that song?
Yes.
I mean, so...
Yeah, I didn't know it was a song.
Shouldn't we write the lyrics before we learn them?
In Russian?
Sure.
We could do that. Maybe we will, because we have no listeners in Russia.
Yeah.
We can't imagine why.
I can't imagine why.
I feel like I'm probably the Pole. Because they would like agree with me the most.
Oh, Pole. You said pool.
I'm the Pole.
Pool. We swim in you? What are we talking about?
I'm the Pole.
Anyways, go
ahead. I'll be fixing to give this an 87 on them Ruskies.
It's the correct story.
Yeah. Go make Russia great again. So, 290s. Something
again,
else.
I think it is worth noting.
90 plus.
That the next time we are all three together again reviewing.
Yeah.
We will hopefully have a new president.
That's right. If you haven't voted and you're voting for Biden, go vote. If you're voting for Trump, I don't think you're probably listening to the show. You probably figured out. No.
It's probably too late by the time.
I wonder if we do have any Trump listeners.
Sure.
I feel like there have to be some.
Well, let's take care of that right now. Micro penis. There we go. Trumpy. Mm-hmm. I bet you know. He did the golden shower thing in Russia where the prostitutes were peeing.
They had a couple of statues
of him in New York City that had those.
That's true. Yeah, the little dick. Yeah, micro penis. Mm-hmm. But yeah, remember how he was getting pissed on
him? Cheese or something? Butter?
Yeah. Butter.
Butter.
Butter. Butter. Butter.
That's what he's made out of.
Yeah.
Little hands.
Small dick.
Well.
Micro penis.
You don't say little hands.
That's true. So. A 90 plus, a 90, and an 87 plus, as she admitted.
Is it just me or is his hair thinning?
I try not to look.
Which part? Back hair?
The chest hair? The part.
All that.
Yeah. I think he's thinning.
It's a flap, Scott. It's not real hair.
Well, that's tough. It's a tough job. Whether you like him or not, it's a tough job watching all that TV.
Yeah, it is.
Having a fake stunt double wife.
Well, honestly, the stunt double wife is younger than Melania.
Oh, yeah. So. She's like 30 tops.
Hey, man. At least he knows who can marry when she dumps his ass. So, for Rob the Wine Guy, Scott the Lessons taxi driver. Taxi driver.
That's easy for you to say.
And the comrade, Triple B.
I'm going to get put on a list.
Well, yeah, you have to be debriefed. She will be not on the second episode tonight because she has to be debriefed by the KGB handlers. So, you know.
Like in 5 years, I'm going to be flying back into the U.S. from somewhere.
Russia.
They're going to be like, Mrs. Stern, can you come with us?
You did like that show, The Americans, quite a bit. Suspicious.
Yeah.
That's true.
It was a good show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Especially when she's like taking notes. Mm-hmm. What are you fucking doing? A drop. Point. What? Handler. What? Espionage. What?
Wrap it up.
That's true. Hall of Fame to the Castello
Romitorio.
Romitoro, not Romitorio.
Well, the maker is Castello Romitorio.
No, it's Castello Romitoro.
It's got an I-O.
Romitorio.
I did Apple Translate and it's Romitoro. I thought it was Romitorio too, but she said Romitoro.
Yeah.
Oh, because there's an I right there.
Yeah.
Oh, but it's Romitorio and then Romitoro.
That's what I
said. Oh, there we go.
To keep up, Rob.
Why would you do that?
I know. It doesn't make any sense.
Not listen? I don't know.
I think it has to mean something in Italian.
Yeah, bowl or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah, whatever. So, we're going to bid you adieu, but see you next time here on the Wine Vault. Good night.